Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I don't know about you, but I've thoroughly been enjoying this new series that we've been looking at, Say My Name, as we've been looking and beginning to explore the different names as God revealed himself in the Old Testament to his people. And the revelation that he gave to his people is the revelation for us today. And it's so important that we understand this. We sometimes can hear a preach or hear a sermon and we can go good, bad, indifferent, whatever. But we sometimes don't capture the essence of what the preacher is bringing to us from God's word. And I want to say to you, if we can only catch a glimpse of the revelation that God is giving us through his name, your world would be totally different. It would totally change. And today I get to look at Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. I was even thinking this week, so interesting, that I'm talking about God is our peace. And as you know, I'm quite a passionate, loud preacher. And how do you speak about peace and not be passionate? So will you forgive me if I get a little bit passionate? That's just my style. You know, I've come to the conclusion it's just me. This is just my style. This is who I am. And we're just going to flow with it. I don't know if you've been reading a lot of paying attention to the news. But sadly, last week, one of the celebrity chefs had committed suicide. And then we see there was another, I don't want to say celebrity, but it was in the news, someone else committed suicide. And I noticed that on the media feeds, as there were some comments from friends, that at the end of the comments from the friends, nearly everyone said this, RIP, rest in peace. Now, we're familiar with that terminology, but the more I was reading it, I want to say I got unsettled in my spirit, because I just began to think that why have we got to die before we think that we can have peace? Because I actually believe that as a Christian, I don't have to go under to go over. I believe that because I'm a Christian, I can call on Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And his word tells me that as a Christian, that we can have life more abundantly. Now, I know I'm going to have eternal life, but I want to live an abundant life. You know, there's this almost thought that once we die, if we get to heaven, it's all going to be okay. I'm in no hurry to go to heaven. All right, I'm one of those Christians. I know some of you sing about going to heaven and then keep all your doctor's appointments. I see it. I'm looking forward to being in heaven. Is that fair comment? But I want to do the most with my time here on earth. And I want it to be an abundant life. But I know in this tipsy-topsy world that's up and down, changing continually, that one of the tools of the enemy is lack of peace. That he comes and he attacks us in our mind, in our spirit, in our soul. And even as Christians, I observe so many times Christians that don't have the peace of God. So I want to say to you this morning that if we could only grasp this peace that God gives us, and it was no different in biblical days. You know, when you look at God's people, when you look at the children of Israel, you will see that they were going through so many different things that they weren't experiencing the peace of God. Yet God revealed precious things about himself to the Israelites when they worshipped him in times of trouble. And my scripture is taken today from Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And if I could just give you a little bit of context, it's the story of Gideon. Are you all familiar with Gideon? It's the story of Gideon. Now, most of us are familiar with Gideon, because he's hiding in a wine press, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of courage, a mighty man of valor. And we've all preached on that. Every preacher, if you're a preacher in this room, you've probably preached on that. But we lose sight of something special that happened in that story that followed on from the revelation of God to Gideon that he was a mighty man of valor or a mighty warrior. Now, the children of Israel, like many of us today, were on this roller coaster journey with God. One minute, they're following him wholly. They're totally obedient to him. They're walking in his ways. They're obedient to his ways. And everything goes well. And then they rebel against God. They do their own thing. In fact, there's a scripture in that book there of Judges which says, everyone at the tail end, everyone was doing what was right in their own sight. And that's always a dangerous thing. When you do your own thing and you think it's okay. Anytime you rebel against God's will, God's word, God's way, you're going to discover you're going to have trouble. Turn to your neighbor and say, trouble. You will have trouble. I promise you, you will have trouble. Now, this is what it was like for the children of Israel. They go on this continual journey of following God, disobeying God, looking to God, looking to self. And this period in Judges 6 was a period where we are told they did evil in the sight of God. And because they did evil, God allowed the enemy, the Midianites, to come and attack them. What would happen was this, that the children of Israel, they would go and they would plant their seed. They would work the ground. They would get to the period where they were ready to reap a harvest. Then the enemy would come after they'd done all the hard work. The enemy would come and steal their harvest. Never feel like that. After all the hard work you've done. And the children of Israel got upset about this. And God sent a prophet. And the prophet, the man of God, came to them and says, listen, did I not take you, deliver you out of Egypt? Have I not been your faithful God that when you have put your trust in me, that I have taken you out of horrendous circumstance? Turn to me again. And by the way, that might be the word of the Lord for someone in this room this morning. Turn to me again. And when they turn to God, God says, look, I've given you victory in the past. You know, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When's the last time you counted your blessings? But often in the midst of challenge, circumstance, difficulty, when we're facing new opposition, we lose sight of victory that God has given us in previous battles. We get overwhelmed by the largeness of the situation, and we forget that God has delivered us in the past. He's been faithful in the past. He's taken us through in the past, and he will do it again for us today. So God says, come on, folks. And I can almost hear God saying to us this morning, come on. You've seen victories in the yesterdays. You will see victory again. And maybe you're here this morning and you're facing a circumstance and you're saying, God, where are you? I'll tell you, he's right there beside you. You're saying, God, I can't see you. You know, you don't have to see God for God to be present. So Gideon is hiding in the wine press. He's in the wine press because he's afraid that the enemy is going to come and steal his harvest. Is that fair? You know, it seems a strange scenario, but he's hiding. And as he's hiding, the angel of the Lord comes and says to Gideon, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior or a mighty man of courage. Now, what I love about the Bible is this. If an angel of the Lord appeared right now and spoke to me, I'm not going to begin to argue with them. All right, I am going to be slightly shocked and anxious that I'm hoping he's coming with a good message. I might give him a courtesy fall. But I love in the Old Testament how when the angel of the Lord appears, they start having these conversations with the angel of the Lord. So Gideon starts having this conversation. Well, if the Lord is with us, why is this happening? And why is that happening? And basically he's saying, where are you, God? And God's saying, I'm right here beside you. And God begins to reveal himself to Gideon. Now, as he reveals himself to Gideon, in Judges 6:24, we read this verse. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still an opera of the Abizrites. He's hiding. He's feeling marginalized. He's fearful. He's afraid. He doesn't know what's coming next. And yet, into the midst of this situation, God reveals himself as the God of peace. despite the terrible threat of the enemy, in the midst of war and strife, and I want to say that again, in the midst of war and strife, because maybe you're feeling war and strife around you right now, right into the midst of that situation, God reveals himself as the God of peace. Everything around in turmoil, confused and fearful, fights without, fears within, conflicts all around. Yet God says to Gideon, Gideon, everything around you seems to be falling apart. But here's whom I am. This is what you need to grasp. I am the God of peace. And you know, Gideon's declaration is powerful for us today. Have you ever noticed everyone seems so stressed out? Have you said it this week? Have you said it today? Have you noticed how we're all stressed out? We're all on the edge, it seems to be. You know, it's a fact that I was reading this just yesterday, that anxiety disorder is at an all-time high. That's fact. Mental health problems are now actually being taken seriously. You know that old Northeast thing? Just pull yourself together. Or we say, would you just get over it? Or we would actually say, would you just get over it? Would you, you know, just pull yourself together? Society is beginning to realize that many of us, our stress levels are so high, and it's not as simple as just pulling yourself together. It's not actually as simple as just getting over it. And peace almost seems like an impossible reality. In my crazy world, how do I deal with this? But I want to bring good news to everyone this morning that you and I, we can find the shalom of God, the peace of God. The Bible says that passes all understanding. We can walk in the revelation of the shalom and peace of God in our hearts and in our minds. That's why Paul encourages us. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, speaking to people just like us that are up and down, Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, now listen to his encouragement to us. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. What incredible words of encouragement to a church many years ago, but the Apex Church today, that if you're a Christian, here's what Paul is telling us. In a world that it seems to be upside down, we can be steadfast, we can be immovable, we can always be abounding. Those of you that were at the picnic yesterday, it was so funny, the tug of war, all right? Because Big Sandy Garvik that you saw with all the pies, he was at the end of one of the ropes and he just tied the rope around himself and he just leant back. That's all he did. Seriously, he didn't seem to put any effort in. And the other team are pulling and doing everything. And the team that Sandy was in and Matthew was in, they had the big hitters on one team, I should say, and Stephen Lawrence. There was a lovely moment because all the guys are sort of like giving it all this, and Stephen's sort of like, yeah, me too. Sorry, Stephen. And it was just so cool because here's Big Sandy, and I'm looking at him knowing what I'm going to preach this morning. And he just looked like the immovable, can't fix, can't change, can't get him out of the way. He just sort of, like, you know what? We need to lean on Jesus. Because some of us are up and down, in and out. I'm talking about our emotions now. And the enemy will play on our mind and have us all over the place. And yet Paul is saying that there is a peace that comes from God, the shalom of God, a solidness in a shaky, sticky world. So in an ever-changing, upside-down, tormented world, how can we have the peace of God? Well, shalom, the word shalom means peace, wholeness, well-being, and rest. It's quite good, isn't it? Out in Israel, when they say shalom, it actually means both hello and goodbye. So it's sort of shalom, as in, how are you? Peace unto you. and then it's sort of shalom as when they're leaving. And shalom, when that's said, it actually means peace unto you. And then the response generally is shalom and unto you peace. Shalom, shalom, peace to you and unto you peace. Sometimes they'll say it twice, shalom, shalom. And the reason it's said twice is because they want you to have peace on the outside and peace on the inside. When is the last time you prayed shalom, shalom over your family, over your home, over your neighbors, over your life, over your work colleagues? Because we are believing that in the midst of a shaky world, we are believing for peace and peace. Peace is a key to surviving the challenges of life. So let me quickly give you some survival skills. You see, when it comes to peace, we need to be at peace with God. You will never know the peace of God until you are at peace with God. It's a personal thing. Paul, speaking to the church at Rome, said these words, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know so many Christians are living in condemnation, living in guilt? They're saved, but the enemy would come and try to hold them under a burden of condemnation, and because of that, they're never at peace. I have prayed for so many Christians who love Jesus, but they just don't have that peace because the enemy is trying to work on their well-being. But I want you to realize something. When we gave our heart to Jesus, when we confessed our sins, we were at peace with God. It is not something that we could work up. It is not something that we could manufacture. It's not because of what we've done, but everything because of what God has done. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, I, Neil Cameron, am at peace with God. That's why, remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. When he's returning back to his father, he's rehearsing everything he's done. He feels unworthy. He doesn't think that he's worthy to be a son. Now he just wants to be a slave or a servant because he's realized better to be a servant in father's house than to be whatever you are out there. So the Bible actually tells us he's rehearsing what he's going to say to his father. I will return and I will say to my father, I am no longer worthy to be your son. But as he's heading there, you all know the story, his father comes running out to meet him. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And as his father comes to him, his son starts to say to his father that which he has rehearsed, but immediately his father stops him because his father can tell by the smell and stench of his clothes that he's been in places he shouldn't be and he's done things that he shouldn't do. But the father did not allow the stench of what was on his son to be a limiter in the fact that he was welcomed back into the house of his father. Come on, that deserves a good amen, surely, this morning. And you know what I've discovered? The elder brother, and often it's family members that try to bring condemnation, the elder brother, the brother that was still at home, he starts to criticize his father. But his father would have none of it. He loved the older brother as well. But he says, wait, you've lost sight of something. This is my son that was lost and is now found. He left home and he's now back home. And he is at peace with me. The greatest news this morning is you can be at peace with God. Even if you've blown it big time. You know, there's an expression, maybe you've seen it before. Know God, no peace. But when you know God, you know peace. And that's what we need to understand. You may be here and you don't know Jesus. You could be a multimillionaire. You could have the finest things in life. But know God, I promise you, no peace. But you can be a pauper. But when you know God, you know peace. And that's what we all need this morning. Do you trust God fully? I put this down in the notes. Because I think many of us have not concluded the fact that God is for us, not against us. So when we get that God is for us, that we can be at peace with God. Now, when you are at peace with God, here is then when you get the peace of God. Peace originates with God himself because he's the author of peace. He is the CEO of peace. Now you've got my attention, because the peace doesn't come from Neil Cameron. The peace doesn't come from the pastors or the assemblies of God. This shalom, this peace, comes from God himself because he is the God of peace. Peace is something. You can't buy peace. You can't go onto eBay and buy peace. You can't negotiate for peace. So how can you find this true peace? Well, when we're at peace with God, we can get the peace of God. You know what? Here's the exciting thing. If you're a Christian, it's your inheritance. Now, I think it was Matthew that spoke about inheritance recently. It's your inheritance. Now, those of us that perhaps have an inheritance coming, and I'm not putting myself in that category, you know, there's something. Oh, is there going to be an inheritance? Is there not going to be an inheritance? Is there something coming down the line? If you're under a certain age, let me say, no, we're going to spend all the money and leave you nothing. In fact, we've just decided that we're going to spend it while we're alive and enjoy it with you. And everyone said amen. So we're going to give you life experiences, and we're going to come in that experience as well. We want to see the happiness that it brings. But peace actually comes from God, and it is the inheritance of every single Christian. Jesus, in John 14, said these words, "Let to disciples," as Jesus is about to leave this earth, he says to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Peace I leave with you." Get this. "My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Heart trouble affects every one of us. But there is a peace of God that comes from God himself that is the inheritance of every Christian, that you don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven to be at peace. You can find the peace of God right here in 2018 in Peterhead in the northeast of Scotland. We can find the peace that comes from God. When it looks like all things are going crazy, or perhaps you look good on the outside, but your world is crazy on the inside. Have you ever wondered if someone could do a body scan on you, the stress they would see and the fear they would see, and the anxiety they would see that dwells within a lot of us. Yet Jesus says to his disciples, "I've come to give you peace. I've come to give you peace." You see, most of us, we love God, but we don't walk in the inheritance that he's given us of that peace. And then his word goes on to say this. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, listen to these incredible words. You need to get this. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." I think that's powerful words. The peace of God, which comes from God, which passes all understanding, is going to guard my heart and mind. You see, so many people are dealing with discouragement and disappointment. The devil's attacking our minds. It feels like we're losing our minds. But what God does in us can be outworked through us. Because God says, "I give you a shalom that makes no sense, that it's not even logical, but it passes all understanding." This peace doesn't come because I'm smart, because I'm super spiritual, but the peace of God comes because I'm guarded. Because his word says, the peace of God that passes all understanding, get this, will guard your heart and mind. Let me illustrate this for you just to help you. I wonder, Daniel, if you could come and help me. And let's have your lovely wife as well. I wonder, Ashley, would you come? and just help me illustrate this point. I want you to grab this because most of us worry about so much. So God's Word says, how many of you believe God's Word? God's Word says the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind. So I need one of you to be understanding. Oh, it'll have to be Ashley. So Ashley, just stand here. So Ashley is understanding because she is so wise and clever and smart. And I'm not implying that Daniel is not. But Ashley is understanding, but you get to be the peace of God. So come on. So this is what God's Word says. And I need you to get this because some of you are looking very spiritual and saintly. But the problem is that there's turmoil in your heart and there's turmoil in your mind and you're never at peace. But God's Word clearly says, if this is understanding, in other words, 2 and 2 make 4, the reason this has happened is this, and da-da-da, and you're in turmoil, that's the natural understanding. But the Bible says that the peace of God does something incredible. The peace of God passes understanding. So understanding is saying, I'm in turmoil. I shouldn't be able to sing this morning. I shouldn't lift my hands this morning. I shouldn't be able to shout amen this morning. My world is falling apart. That's what understanding. But the peace of God says, but because the peace of God rules and reigns in my heart, understanding says, you shouldn't be able to worship God. The peace of God goes, that's understanding. Come here just a minute, Daniel. That's understanding. That's understanding, but I will bless the Lord at all time. Amen. His praise shall continually be in my voice and heart because the natural, the world may be falling apart, but there's a peace of God that passes all understanding. Are you getting it yet? I'm saying it passes because some of you come to church if you've had a bad week. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name. And then, hey, come on, let's worship God. Yeah, I'm trying my best. Just be thankful I'm here. If you knew the week I'd had. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, isn't it good? We're happy to see you. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, let's be honest. That's how some of us react because we have bad weeks, because we all have bad weeks. But what God's Word, if you can get the shalom of God, are you with me, church? If you can get the shalom of God, that understanding may be saying, actually, I'm not even going to come this morning. I'm just going to stay at home because things are so bad. That's what understanding says. But the peace of God passes all understanding. Then it says, and it will guard my heart and my mind. Oh, I like that. It will guard my heart and mind. You get to be heart and mind now. Come on. She's beautiful, isn't she? Heart and mind, you get to be the guard. Wow. Okay, maybe I'll... Okay, you get... Where's Sandy? Think about this. I need you to get this. This is wonderful. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard my heart and mind so that when circumstance comes and challenge comes and opposition comes, to try and get into my heart and trying to get in my mind to pull me down, to make me feel insecure, to make me feel unvalued, to make me think I can't do it. This is what the peace of God does. The peace of God guards. The peace of God guards my heart and mind. I was thinking as I was driving down, you know, it's almost like your worst nightmare. A big black pastor with a machine gun, you know, or a foam gun or one of these things. I'm using a simple illustration because some of you still haven't got it. The Bible says the shalom of God. I said the shalom of God, the peace of God. When we're tormented and we're thinking, God, why aren't my children coming back to you? Why are they still backsliding? Why aren't they responding to you? Oh, God, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel this heaviness upon me? That's what the enemy wants to do to take you out. But the shalom of God, church, the shalom of God will guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ to take you to that place of victory. It's like having your own personal security guard. It's almost like Ashley is so wealthy, and Ashley is such a celebrity that she has her own personal bodyguard to carry her shopping. Thank you, guys. You can take your seats. I need you to get this, church. I need you to get this. Because many of us are not living in the peace of God. And yet if we get the shalom of God all this week, because I knew what I was preaching on, all this week when circumstances have come my way, I've just been going, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shalom. Say my name, Jehovah Shalom. A difficult situation. God, what am I going to do? Jehovah Shalom. Oh God, the enemy trying to work in my mind. Well, what will you do with this? What will you do with that? My mind needs to be guarded. Jehovah Shalom. Phyllis going in for an operation tomorrow. Oh God, I pray that you will be with her. She's in too much peace. I pray that you will be with her during the operation. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom is guarding my heart and mind. And if more Christians we grab hold of this eternal truth. I tell you what, it's not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of peace. It doesn't mean that nothing's ever going to come your way, but what it means is that God will always be with you. Isaiah 26 and 3 says these words, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 9 and 6, as the band comes, listen to these eternal words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Neil, if you knew what was happening in my world, if you knew what I was going through, if you knew what I was facing, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know the peace of God that passes all understanding that can guard your heart and mind. So my question this morning is very simple. Are you at peace with God? Because if you're at peace with God, you'll get the peace of God. It's not a natural peace. It's not a peace the world gives. Jesus said that. But it's a peace that passes all understanding. And it's going to become an equilibrium in your life to guard your heart and mind. Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. As we bow our heads, question again, are you at peace with God? Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you a Christian? Have you responded to him? Have you asked Christ to be your Savior? Have you asked Jesus to be Lord of your life? Have you said his name? Those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of Jesus. You're here this morning, you don't know him, you've never given your heart to him. You've never responded to his name. You've never asked Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord, and to be your Savior. Tonight, this morning, sorry, is your opportunity to ask Christ to come in. You want the peace of God? You have it to be at peace with God. The price has already been paid. Jesus, the Son of God, paid that price so that you could come into that relationship. You're here, you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you say, Neil, this morning, today, I want to become a Christian. I want to acknowledge him as my Lord and my Savior. That you, would you just lift your hand? Lift your hand. Come on, you need Jesus. You need him. You need him. You need him. Peace with God. Well, hey, who is here? And you would be honest enough to say, Neil, by the way, my hand's already up. I need more of the peace of God in my life. I need that peace of God that passes all understanding. Come on, would you stand to your feet right now? Father, you see everyone who is standing right now. We want to respond to your Lordship, and we want to declare Jehovah Shalom, the peace of God. In our busyness, unsettledness, confused, hurting, life out of sync, I speak the peace of God right now. For we know that for Gideon it was into a time of war and strife, and yet you revealed yourself as the God of peace. Lord, I know in this room right now there are maybe people that are fighting without and fears within. Stuff happening in their world, conflict happening all around them. And they need your peace. So we declare again the shalom of God. Shalom, shalom. Peace on the inside, peace on the outside. The peace of God. For sickness, for ill health, for troubled minds, for depression, for anxiety. Father God, right now, we say peace, peace, peace of God. To confusion, circumstances, to Lord, we don't know which way to turn, to families that are fractured right now, we say peace, peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Father, we're asking that you would help us to allow that peace to guard our heart and to guard our mind. We pray that you would hedge us in and hedge us around. That, Father, that we would not be tormented in so many different ways. But we send the guard to the door of our hearts and minds right now. And we say, peace, be still, in the name of Jesus.